Who loves our music team? Who enjoys what they do? You know how you can support them? By actually being in church on time. Number one, say it with me, be on time. Second, look at these young people, aren't they good filling up the front row? Second, fill up the front first. Say it with me, fill up the front first. One more time, let's put our phones on silent, or off would be better. Fill up the front where? First. Why is that so important? Who loves to worship God? We do it together. So if someone asks you, like Roy and Jane, who are our service team directors, who are actually on leave this week, and some other person who's a leader under Andrea and I, the best thing you can do is, sure, I'll come and sit on the front row. Can we do that together? Can we be on purpose about this? Because I want to talk about it this morning, because I believe it's one of the most critical things to create atmosphere and enjoy God together. Because it's pointless if there's no one actually following. Jesus had followers. And so let's follow the leadership of this house and let's follow God and be passionate about his house. Amen? So can we do that next week when you're feeling a little bit lethargic? You say, you know what, I'm there. I'm going to worship God. I've got my hands up. We're going to praise God. If you're going to sit at the front and just stand there and be grumpy, don't sit at the front. We don't want you on the front. Why is that? Why is that, really? Because the people that are not part of church want to see that we're passionate about something that is, that, come on, it's about changing our life. We either love him or we don't. And so that's my whole purpose of this morning, before we get up and praise him one more time at the end. Is that cool? All right. Fantastic. So I want to talk this morning about get into worship. Get into worship. The first point I want to make is praise him. Say it with me. Praise him. Praise him. Psalm 150 says this. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And one more time, praise the Lord. All right. And so, life is to be enjoyed. Would you agree? I'm not totally convinced. Maybe the front row. That's why we've got to have good people on the front rows. We should have our best people. It should be like, I'm champing at the bit to be one of those people. All right, let's put those phones on silent once more time. Let's get this right. This morning, God bless you. Life is to be enjoyed. We are to be grateful for our lives. And sometimes when I'm surfing, especially if I go down south, now Jared and I love to do this together, I look back at the land from the ocean and simply go, wow. Well, he might not, but this is what I mean. He probably is singing as he's in the water, you know. It's what he does. He loves to worship God. But I look back across the landscape and I think, my goodness, only God could have. But there's this other attitude that's in our society. Whatever. Oh my goodness me. This morning must be the morning. Okay, can everyone please check their phones right now, in their handbags or wherever they are, and let's put them on silent. Let's double check. Let's do it together. Look, I've done it before. I've been totally humiliated, so I'm not having a go at anyone. And it was actually in front of Phil Pringle. I never have my phone. It's always on silent. This particular day, it wasn't. Oh, I could have sunk into the chair. But let's try and check, eh? All right. All right, this is getting ridiculous. I think we better turn them off. All right. We can't be neutral about our life. We've got to step into all that God has for us. Life is to be enjoyed, to be happy on the inside. The whatever life is not going to do you any favors with God. And so today I want to talk to you about how we worship God in His house and its importance for our lives. I want to make this point. We are on purpose with worship. We are on purpose with worship. Now, we need to be on purpose with this area of our lives. And this is a great part of us being together on a Sunday. One of the biggest rules I get is when we worship together in unison. I'm sure I'm not alone on this. When we're together and we're huddled, we actually, there's something about that that's just, you don't get it anywhere else. We can experience an overwhelming sense of awe as we worship Him today. We're going to do this at the end. And Revelation 4:11, you know, just on this, before I go any further, you know, Andrew and I have committed, even though my kids are, you know, old enough to, well, they're pretty much both adults, to go to Presence Conference. And we spend the money at Presence Conference because, you know what, one of the greatest joys I get? Turn and see in my family worshiping God. Hands raised. And a whole huge, not just our church, but all the churches there doing exactly the same thing. It lights up our lives. We are on purpose together. What a great vision for your family. Revelation 4:11, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. We cannot possibly think of outdoing God. We cannot possibly go to the whatever state of mind. Too much is at stake. And you may sit in church, not at this church, I know, but you may sit in church and you might be on Facebook. That's never happened here. You might be in church, you might be on Instagram. You might be thinking, oh, whatever. You know, oh, that person got a brand new car. How awesome is it? Oh, whatever. Got a new job. Oh, whatever. Oh, we're going on holidays. Oh, whatever. God's bigger than that. We got to get the life of God on the inside of us. Some things in society are not good for us. We should be enjoying one another. And most of all, we should be enjoying God. Colossians 3:16, the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with great grace in your hearts to the Lord. If we're going to do this, singing with grace in our hearts, then we are certainly not going to be concerned about the person next to us. We are going to make the decision to be with God. You know, I got a text message from Pastor John Finkeldy with his son Luke at the football in the rain last night, all huddled together doing a selfie of each other. And I'm kind of like, oh, I'm thinking that's commitment. But I know that John Finkeldy will be in church this morning worshiping with his hands raised high. And so we've got to be sure that we know that we've got our priorities right. That God is to be worshipped, that God is to be praised. And I'm grateful that even on this wintry day that you've come and said, and that's the kind of spirit we need. God is the answer to a lot of stuff, and it happens through our worship. Thirdly, worship sets us free. Let's say it together. Worship sets us free. Now, I want to come to a scripture and come back to it. John 4, verse 23. John 4, verse 23 says this, but the hour is coming. This is Jesus talking to the woman at the well, who was an outcast, who was outside of town, this well. And he makes this comment. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. I want to say that worship is the doorway that unlocks the heart and connects the spirit to God. The Spirit of God is not low-key. It's not melancholic. He's an active God through his church. Have a look at Psalm 149. We have been transformed. We are enthused by him. And some of us need to wake up the born-again man today. I want to talk to you this morning about the story of a frog. A frog starts out its life as a tadpole. It's confined to its pond. At about 6 weeks, the little tadpole grows back legs. At about 9 weeks, it grows front legs. At about 12 weeks, the funny-looking tadpole becomes a tiny frog. It loses its tail. And when little froggy loses its tail, it's no longer restricted. It's free to move into the bigger ponds. It's free to find running water. And the frogs that do call out the loudest. Needip, needip. Whenever there's running water, they call out the loudest. And Jesus is talking to this woman and he says, come to my living water. This frog has been restricted. It's like it's. You know, who'd like to be a tadpole or a frog? I know they're both ugly, but I'd rather be a frog than a tadpole. And I think there's a picture, and God uses nature in all kinds of ways for our benefit. And this little tadpole, all they can do is suck a little bit on the what's that green stuff? Algae. That's pretty much its life. But then it kind of loses its back legs. But once it loses its tail, it can move. It can enjoy the bigger world. And some of us, it's like, but I'm still stuck in the world, or I'm still stuck in that area of my, I can't, what will the person next to me think? Let's lose our tails today and enjoy God. Sometimes we're held down, man. It's like I can't surely leave these hands because what will people think? It's not about what people think, it's about what we want to do. See, God responds when we do something. One of those things is going to make a difference. Now, none of us are as ugly as a frog. But some of us might be still stuck in the pond. Sucking on algae. God has more. God has more. Frogs. I haven't actually talked to them, but I'm sure they're grateful for what they have become. These ugly looking critters are knee deeping all over the place. They are loving their freedom. We are set free, the Bible says, to worship him. And inside every human being is a brand new person. Oh. We just have to let ourselves go a little in God and see what he deposits into our lives as we worship him. See, there are some frogs in the rainforest that can glide for up to 15 meters from tree to tree. And I bet that they're thinking, I may not be the prettiest animal, but look at me, I'm free. They have these little flaps of skin. And they open up and they through the trees. What did we talk about last week? Isaiah 55:12. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the fields shall clap their hands. We used to sing a hymn about it. The trees of the fields will clap their hands. We used to do actions as well. All of nature expressing their sympathy with the people of God. That's what that was last week. That's what this Isaiah 55 is all about. So when we get to heaven, all of nature is going to be going, "Well, praise these guys." But we can start now, right? In fact, we get to where we're going because we're worshiping him now. And so there is a need inside of us to rejoice in what God has done for us. We are indeed set free to worship him. We need to spread our wings. And it's halfway through our year, and I thought it'd be great to reboot. Who needs a bit of a reboot? We all do. What an incredible God we serve. Are you agreeing with me? What an amazing God we serve. He's amazing. He's incredible. And I want for us to recover the excitement of what it is to be in love with Jesus. So the next week and the week after and before Christmas, whenever it is, when we actually start to praise God, you know, there's a fire inside of us that goes, "I'm loving this. I'm loving that I don't have my tail on anymore. I'm loving that I'm free to worship God. I'm free from sin. I'm free from despair. God is setting me free. And those things that I still have issues with, I know that as I worship him, they are getting less." I was driving along the old traffic bridge in Fremantle here. And there was this mum and dad. It was on a fine day. This mum and dad, and it was only a few seconds, but I happened to see exactly. And the mum's got a big smile on her face. They're pushing their toddler, I guess 2-3-year-old, in the thing, in the, what's that thing called? It's been a long time. Pram pusher, whatever that thing is. I remember I could never pull it down to get it in the boot. I remember that. Anyway, that thing. And there was two of them. And mum and dad were there. And dad's going, "Look, look, look, look." And mum's got this big smile on her face because I was watching the mum's expression as she's seeing her little boy or girl, I couldn't really tell. But looking out and as a dolphin is in the river. And it was like, well, it wasn't kind of whatever. You know, whatever. Because for them, it could have been whatever, you know. I've seen it before. I've seen a dolphin before. But for them, but for these little ones, it was like the first time. It's brand new. It's awesome. It's amazing. And every time we come into the house of God, we should be thinking, what's God going to do today? Because he changes things every time we come, doesn't he? We never know what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And so we got to be excited and be like that little mum. I don't know if she was little, but the mum and dad. And actually, wow, be excited. Because when we see other people worshiping God and they're getting answers for their lives, that we should be saying, "Thank you, God." The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, the Bible says in Lamentations 3:23. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. They are what every morning? They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So you can recapture the art of worship today, but to do that you need to engage. Back to the story of the woman at the well. John 4. I'm not going through the whole passage this morning for the sake of time, but Jesus is talking with the woman at the well. And she actually has a lot of reason to be in a whatever frame of mind. She's been through 5 husbands. There's another bloke trying to talk to her now. What does he want? Something is happening on the inside of her. This Jewish man sitting with her. She's an outcast. But Jesus doesn't give up. He keeps talking with her. He's breaking down the barriers, the layers. Who has barriers from week to week in their life? We get layers on us from the world. It's one of the reasons God has church, where we gather together, so that we come in and the layers start to fall off when we worship God. Jesus says to her, never thirst again. She's at that well to take water. He's talking about living water. She's not sure what he's talking about at that particular moment. But he starts talking to her about worship. You see, worship is how we access God. Worship breaks down the seal around your spirit. When we lift our hands to heaven, when we sing to God, when we rejoice, when we dance, it's like condensation. The noise gas goes up to heaven, and God comes down and like puts the glory of it. It's like a mystical dew or something comes down from heaven. We know we're in experiencing him, but we can do nothing, but we won't receive anything back. And you will miss out on the warmth of the sun raining down on you. You will miss out on his refreshing rain unless you get into worship. Say it with me. Get into worship. Get into worship. Thank you, Betty. Oldest member of our church, I believe, loves to worship God. See, worship is the basic core of how you and I have been created. We have worship fused into our being. Now, if you put Jared and me next to each other, I worship completely different to him. But I've talked to you about how I love to worship, and I see it around me. Jared loves to sing with all his heart. I can sing, but it's kind of like not in front of people. But when we're in church, we can all do it. And I'll sing. Charlie and I are the most off-key people in the church, more than likely. Sorry, mate, I'll just put you in it. But if I'm with Charlie next, we've been together for a long time. I tell you, we'll sing out of key, and I don't really care. Because I want to give God, when the worship's really on, man, I want to give him some praise. If he gave me this kind of voice, then why should I worry? Hey, that's his problem, not mine. Is that right? So let's get over ourselves. Can we do that? Let's enjoy God together, whoever we are. And if you can't sing in English, then sing in your tongue. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit covers all those boundaries. You want to do a little dance, a little jig? Let's do that too. We're a Pentecostal church. My goodness, sometimes I wonder. With some people. We're worshippers. And the English language often doesn't do God justice, depending on whether we mean what we are saying. That was a great coffee. That was great, God. I love you, darling. I love you, Lord. You're an amazing cook. You're an amazing God. But you can't leave this place and sit down at like one of the coffee shops around here and go, I worship your coffee. I worship your coffee. Andrew and I went out for coffee yesterday. I didn't stand and go, oh, I worship your coffee. But I tell you what, when it comes to my Lord, now that's something to be excited about. I will worship my Lord. And I'm a big bloke. I know I can be get in the way of people, but nothing's going to stop me from worshiping God. Why should it? Does God love me any less than you? Exactly. That's what I love about when I go to Africa. That's when we're in Liberia, you know. When we ordain some of the pastors over there, Shane, you understand this experience, Sue, Renska, some of those people that have been with us, Doug and Kath, you know, and I could not believe my eyes on this one occasion, and we'd done it it was in a hall, this meeting. Charlie was there, that's right, and we're in this hall, and the power kept going off, and there was all sorts of problems. Welcome to Liberia. It's just the way it is. Anyway, I Pastor Contestant and his wife, Marmy. And I finished and I'm thinking, this isn't in the program. And for 20 minutes, they're doing a train. And they're like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We worship you, Lord. I was awesome. It was incredible. I love it. So let's all do what we do. The way we want to express ourselves. Does it really matter? Does he think God loves it? Oh man, I'm telling you, if we can watch the, we can get up at 3 a.m. and watch the soccer. I don't know why you would, but anyway, if you do, forgive me. Oh dear. Come, we should surely be able to worship our God, right? Well, I'm getting warmed up. See, worship is giving your spirit. Did you hear me, church? It's bowing down to. It's adoring. Romans 14:11, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue confess that I am Lord. We've got to be surrendered to the Lord. We're going to sing that song in a little while. One of the major differences between us and animals is that we are worshippers. You don't come home from work and your dog is in the back room. His tail's wagging and he's just happy to see you because he wants some food and he wants it now. All animals are interested in is their self-preservation. We are not like that. God has put a spirit inside of us that we can worship him. And we worship him in spirit and in truth. It's ridiculous to think that any animal would worship God and make any kind of sacrifice. I know sometimes you see it at the movies, but it's ridiculous. You know, the hippopotamuses and the chimpanzees and the lions are not around a campfire and they're not sacrificing. They're eating one another or other things. We're different. We didn't evolve from them. Jesus is our Savior. He's our Lord. We are set free to worship him. We know that the defining difference between man and animals is that we are made to worship. We're worshippers. Deep in the Papua New Guinea jungle, there's this unusual tribe. Well, unusual to us, I guess. They think it's cool. The Kurawai. And on a few occasions that journalists have managed to do the two-week trek because it's such a location. They have found that they are worshipping. There's this other group off the Indian. Everyone has to worship something. Cannot but worship. You were created to worship. Worship plugs us in to Jesus. A few minutes, musos, and you can come up. See, Bremer, on that note, he plugs in his guitar. Man, if you don't plug in the guitar, what's it like? Pretty average, isn't it? In fact, I don't even know if Bremer would have a good time. Who loves Bremer playing his guitar? I mean, he's pretty cool, isn't he? Not much movement from Brem, but I know on the inside it's there. If you're that kind of worshiper, great. But we can put up our hands. Agreed on that. We can all do that. Bremer, you can play. See, if we can walk around and we can plug into all kinds of things that we think will give us satisfaction. See, the girl at the woman at the well, she's plugged in. She's had five husbands. But she can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no. Mick Jagger. Some of you are too young, I know. His big lips. I can't get no. And he's totally right. You can't get the satisfaction that you need from a one person. That was actually a very doctrinally sound song in that sense. You can't get no satisfaction from one person. I can't get... I love that song. You know, goes Morocco days. Andrew and I are fully in love with one another, 28 years married. But I can't get everything from Andrea. Andrea can't get everything from me. I thought she could, but, you know. She can't. You see, the only soulmate we have, and it's not a person, it is when we connect with our Lord Jesus Christ. And this woman is starting to connect. Jesus talks to the woman about worship. And when you have worship inside of you, you are tapped into his living water. Who'd like more living water? Come on. It doesn't matter. When the one that you love lets you down, it's going to happen. I was talking to a couple this week who are pastors, and they said to me that they never argue. And I go, surely you do. You've got to argue sometimes. He goes, yeah, we have the odd spout. I thought, oh, thank goodness. I thought I was like, something wrong with me. I'm just saying all this stuff because we've all got faults, but we can still worship him, can't we? We might have a spite that morning. The best thing you can do is worship God, and I bet you when you get home, it'll be all defused. When you're having connect group leaders, you know that night is always one of the worst. Because whenever people gather to worship, in whatever form, there is an enemy that's against it. So we've got to rise on the inside of this. He refreshes us. Jesus says to the woman that he's looking for true worshippers. He is looking for people who will worship him, truly worship him. And when we worship God, we imitate heaven, right? That's what the Bible says. We're going to be there. Glory, glory, under the throne, all that, Revelation. Worship him in spirit and in truth. See, this woman went from being dead cold and understandably jaded by her relationships to having her spirit ignited by God. She goes away, she says, this man, I think he's different. There's something about him. And you see, that's the difference. Sometimes it's like there's just nothing on the inside because you have to actually give something to God for him to respond to you. And because he keeps talking with her and she keeps responding, the worship inside of her that was created for her, she goes back to the village and all the people come out and the whole village is turned to the living God. There's life. When we worship God. Come up, music team, please. Thanks, guys. Just a few moments, church. We're going to worship God. I'm trusting that if you've never put your hands up, today is your day. I'm trusting if you've never worshipped him in spirit and in truth, today is your day. Let's be free today to enjoy our God. See, you can't afford to let the worship team do it for us. Can be spectatorish. If we don't engage our spirit by lifting our hands and opening our mouth, people are rejoicing. They have their wings stretched out. They take a hold of their Savior. They are brand new men. They're set free to worship. Are you going to be the regenerated you this morning or the Adam you? The old man or the new man? See, look, just before we start to sing, if I put $100 into my account, I can't expect to then withdraw $1,000. We have to put something in to get something out. What will happen is it'll come up insufficient funds. Our relationship with God is through our worship. If you want a release from God, release to him. And I think that's everyone in this room. He's saying, give me all you've got and I'll give you all I've got. God's got more than we've got. Come on, let's stand to our feet. God's got more than we've got. God's got more.
That's right.
And your purpose in life, as Jesus explained to the woman at the well, is not based in our relationships, as good as they may be, and they should be great in the house of God. It is based on our worship to Him. Our fulfillment is in God. So let's worship this morning. Come on, music team. Lead me. Thanks, Jared, Eunice.
Let's worship.